Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
If you join me in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. As we head to a story that's quite familiar in church circles, and even quite familiar in circles that aren't part of church, people talk about a David and Goliath experience. And so you may know the story, but my prayer today is that God would give us, even as Craig prayed, and Craig, I mean, you nailed it with give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to respond to people who need to know the love of Jesus. And I was just so encouraged. I think that word and that prayer specifically, too, was for Malcolm and Cynthia and Shannon. Just ears to hear, eyes to see, that you're going to walk in revelation as you minister in South Africa, that God's going to open your eyes to see, your ears to hear. And I know, Malcolm, you minister with visions, but I feel like the Lord would even say to you that there's going to be a greater revelation for you and the next step of ministry in being able to see things you haven't seen before. But not just so you can see and know, but you're going to be able to speak those things. Scripture talks about speaking those things that are not as though they were. And as God reveals to you what He is doing in the heavenly realm, I believe as you speak it, that you're going to speak with authority and you're going to speak with anointing, and chains are going to be broken as you minister. There's a next step of ministry for you to be released in this time of ministry in South Africa. It's not just for those in South Africa, but it's what God is going to do in you that He might do through you. But He's not going to bypass the vessel. He's not going to bypass you in what He's going to do through you, but He's going to strengthen and encourage and minister to you as you go. This story of David and Goliath, may our eyes be open and ears be open to what the Lord would say to us today. Just beginning at verse 1 in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, the scene is this. Saul has been appointed king, and he's been appointed and he's been anointed king, and the Israelites are at war with the Philistines. It says this: Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. The Philistines were gathered together at Socoh to battle. And even just stopping at that first verse, and we won't stop at every verse like this, but stopping at that first verse, it says that they gathered together at Socoh, which belonged to Israel. Sometimes the enemy shows up in our lives in areas where God has already given us the inheritance. God has promised us the inheritance, and the enemy doesn't respect that boundary, that there he is. We never thought that the enemy would be present in our lives in this way. And in verse 2, it says this: Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped at the Valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array against the Philistines. See, the problem is this, that the Philistines gathered together for battle, but it only says that the children of Israel gathered together and they were dressed for battle. And we need to do more than just look like soldiers. We need to do more than just be in battle array and gather together. We have a fight in front of us. And the enemy comes ready to do battle. We've got to do more than look the parts. We have to be those who are equipped and trained and ready and will engage the enemy. See, the Philistines were encamped on one side, and Israel was camped on the other, and there's this valley in between. And as they're preparing for battle, out comes the Philistines' champion. You would know his name. We would know his name as Goliath. Sometimes in Scripture, you'll find his name recorded as Goliath of Gath. Now, if that's what we understand in the English translation, but from the original Hebrew, it actually says Goliath Schwarzenegger. I mean, this man is impressive. Well, he probably actually looks more like Iron Man than Arnie. He's got the armor and a spear and a javelin, a bronze javelin. He's a huge man. He's got huge strength. He's very impressive, and he's very intimidating. And Goliath declares these terms, the terms of battle. He stood out and cries to the armies of Israel and says to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul?" And he lays out the terms of engagement. "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy," pay attention to that, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were greatly, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that has been the enemy's tactic as the day is long, is to put fear in the hearts of God's people. He said, let's avoid the rush of two armies descending and all the bloodshed and all the warfare and so many people dying. Let's just pick two guys to fight. And because of his impressive stature, because of his armor, and because of his presence, the people of Israel, there was a fear that grabbed them. But Israel, I'd like you to see this, or us to see this morning for just a moment. Israel did not have to accept the enemy's terms. Goliath cried out and said, this is how it's going to unfold. This is how it happens. This is what it's going to look like. This is how the battle will take place. But dear ones, the people of God do not need to accept the enemy's terms. Do not let the enemy dupe you into thinking that we have to play according to his rules. Remember, he's the father of all lies, and Goliath was lying at this moment. He said, if you win, we will serve you. No, that's not true. If you win, we will run away as fast as we can. I would have loved to see Goliath put out the rules of engagement. Be able to say, do you accept these terms? I would have loved for Saul to stand up and say, no, we do not. Charge and watch all of Israel descend on Goliath. That we do not accept the enemy's terms. When the enemy comes to you with his terms, you don't need to just roll over and accept what he says. When he says your family's not going to make it, when he says your situation is impossible, when he says your God isn't going to intervene on your behalf, we do not have to accept his terms, because we're able to say, no, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that works in us mightily. It says that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. We receive the word of the Lord. The enemy portrayed this is going to be a one-man show. It never needs to be a one-man show. You send one and I'll send one. Don't let the enemy isolate you into thinking you have to face him alone. We are called into community. We are called to stand together. We are called to fight together. We are called to be family. The enemy of your soul suggests that needs to be one-on-one. You can tell him one-on-one has already taken place. It took place in the wilderness of temptation. It took place at the Garden of Gethsemane. It took place at the cross of Calvary. It took place at the empty tomb where Jesus triumphed once and for all. We never need to face the enemy alone. But Saul accepted his terms. And verse 16 says, the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Have you ever experienced that? Where the enemy of your soul, his accusations, taunt you morning, noon, and night? Where you go to sleep and his voice rings in your ears. When you wake up, his voice rings in your ears, reminding you of your situation or how helpless
It is. And the helplessness of your God.
See, that's when it said that he defied the armies of the living God, it means this: he resisted. It's an open opposition. It's with boldness and assurance. There's a brashness to it. I defy the armies of the living God. And there's volume to it. And there's arrogance to it. The enemy of our soul still stands in defiance of the people of God. Your God is not able, he cries. And it's upon this scene, 40 days and 40 nights of the taunting, it's upon this scene that a young man named David arrives. Verse 17, I'd like to look at why David was there. Jesse, David's dad, and Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. You see, David, the reason why David went, the reason why David shows up at this scene is simply because he's about his father's business. That's why he was there. His dad said, I want you to go here. He was never to bring, the plan was not to bring back the head of a giant. The plan was to bring back news. Tell me how your brothers fare. And he simply went because he was about his father's business. And sometimes we encounter giants when we're simply just about our father's business. All we're doing is following God. All we're doing is wanting to serve him and follow him. And as we're obeying and living our lives before him, we unexpectedly experience giants. Maybe we might even say things like, I knew that there was a battle, and I knew that my brothers were engaged in battle, but I just didn't expect to be in the fight. I didn't expect that this would touch me. I didn't expect this would touch my family. I was just going to bring some news, bring some supplies and get some news and looking for some news to pass on. But he arrives and he hears Goliath spouting off, and he sees the impact that the enemy's voice has on the people of God. The enemy's voice has on their hearts and their minds. And in fact, when David arrives at the scene, they say this very phrase, have you seen the enemy? One of the first things that's recorded, they talk to David. Have you seen this man? Have you seen what the enemy's declaring? Verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Look at this giant in our lives. Surely he has come up to defy Israel. It says, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. And David spoke to the men who stood by him and said, tell me again, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Tell me again, what shall be done for him? And tell me again about the taxes part. And he says, tell me about the one who takes away the reproach of Israel. He said, guys, this is embarrassing. This is not how it should be. Who takes away the reproach? David's brother, big brother. See if this sounds like big brother. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. Of all of the things of the life of David, when we think about the life of David and the heart of David, isn't it of him that it's spoken of? He's looking after someone who has a heart after God, after God's own heart.
But his big brother says, I know that you've come to see the battle, which David, if he was perhaps a little snottier, would have said, not much of a battle. Like, there's not much happening here, big brother, because if I came to see it, there's not much of a show. He says, I know the pride and the insolence of your heart. Good News Version will say, you cheeky brat. The Message says, you've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at the bloody battle. NIV will say, I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. New Living says, I know about your pride and dishonesty. King James will say, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. I love that. The naughty chair. David, I know your naughty heart. See, Jesse, David's dad, he looked down on David. David's brothers, they looked down on David. Saul looked down on David. Goliath looked down on David. But the difference is this, that God looked down upon David. David answers in verse 29. David said, you can hear this to the big brother. What have I done now? What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is this not worth something fighting for? Is this not worth something dying for? Saul's told of David, and he summons him. He's going to set him straight. And he goes to set him straight, and he says essentially this to David, you're not able. See, you have no experience, and Goliath has nothing but experience. He's a champion, and he's been from his youth. Verse 32, David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of the words of the enemy, because of the taunts of the enemy, because of the impressive stature of the giant. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, here it is, you are not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. You've got no experience and he's got nothing but it. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went out and I struck it, went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of this bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Let no man's heart fail. Let no one's heart fail. Heart failure isn't just physical. It takes place, the wind out of our sails, when the enemy speaks and we believe his lies and we believe his voice. I love the phrase when David says, I went after it, after the animal, and I caught it by its beard. It didn't just grab it by its tail, chasing after it, grabbed it by its beard. It's like, look at me, and this will be the last thing you see before you die. Grabs it by its beard. Goliath had a lot of noise, and he had a lot of past experience. He was a champion. He had size and impressive armor, but he had defied the armies of the living God, and David hadn't yet read the New Testament, but he understood this, that if God is for us, who can be against us? And Saul says in that concluding statement, Saul says, now go, and the Lord be with you. In a moment, I'd just like to pray with us this morning. But it might be that you're here this morning and you look at your life and you say, I simply have wanted to be about my Father's business, following the Lord, following Jesus, doing what he's called me to do. And as you do that, you'll be required to engage the enemy. Sometimes we face giants, and giants are things that are just simply bigger than us. Maybe it's a giant bill. Maybe it's a giant diagnosis. Maybe it's a giant relationship crisis. Maybe it's a giant sorrow. But we don't need to be afraid. And the Bible would say this, fear not. Let no one's heart fail. Because we don't need to face any giant alone. And we don't need to accept the enemy's terms. May we find victory before the battle because our hearts don't fail and we trust in the Lord.
I met Goliath on a day that I did.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, @CSAirdrie on Twitter and @CornerstoneAirdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
Staring right through my chest cavity. The prophet man said, God looked in my heart and saw a king. But I know my heart well, and I never quite like what I see. And a crown is the last thing I ever thought would grace my brow. Didn't want it back then, and I'm not sure I want it now. I've got no need to follow the footsteps of kings. I just want to tend pastures and kill giants, pebbles and slings. Beauty on rooftops leads swift to the den of the dead. The lust of my flesh numbs my heart, numbs my soul, numbs my head. Darkness is dancing, I can feel his ear-to-ear grin. Well, I'm sick and I'm twisted against God, alone have I sinned. And a crown is the last thing I ever thought would grace my brow. I didn't want it back then, and I'm not sure I want it now. I've got no need to follow the footsteps of kings. Just want to tend pastures and kill giants with pebbles and slings. a call to the day. I can still feel his heartbeat just slowly slipping away. And he was a monster, that much is easy to see. But it takes one to kill one, so why does that make